Dear Father, I pray that I might not get in the way of what you want to share here today. Amen. So we're in the season of Lent, which means that we're looking at Jesus' life before he was crucified and went to heaven. I had a very interesting time preparing this talk for you. I've read all four accounts of the Bible story, which is quite good for me. And this feeding the 5,000 is one of only two events that are spoken about in all four Gospels. Feeding the 5,000 and Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. So this is quite a group of events to be part of. It tells us, if nothing else, that the feeding of the 5,000 had a significant impact on the disciples and all those who were there. Such a huge and miraculous event that all the gospel writers felt that they needed to document it. And when I was planning this talk, obviously reading through the original text in Greek and then translating it back to English. Actually, I didn't. I just put feeding the 5,000 into Google. I landed on four points that I felt were important to share from the passage today. But whilst these are helpful, I remained unsettled and unsure of what impact and what meaning this story really has for us today. As we rush around leading our busy lives, how can we fit in a story, a true story about feeding 5,000? And this is a challenge for us all this morning. It's the so what? It's the, well, what difference does this story make? There are loads of stories in the Bible. Why is this different? And how does it, and how can it, change me more and turn me more in love with Jesus? Make a difference and walk more closely with him. Well, my three key learning points are Jesus will provide, Jesus cares, Jesus can do more than we can ever possibly imagine. And point four, we need to give all that we have to Jesus. There are, of course, many more points to be made from this, but these are just the few I wanted to highlight in my 15 minutes. The passage we have just had read to us in Luke is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. And as with any other familiar passage, it can sometimes be easy to miss much of what God is trying to say to us. Luke reveals how the disciples, having been sent out by Jesus to drive out demons, heal the sick, and share practical needs and make sure people were provided for, we know they have witnessed firsthand amazing miracles. The disciples all witnessed an enormous catch of fish, the calming of a storm by just saying one word, the walking on water, the healing of the paralyzed man, the raising of a widow's son from the dead, and cast out demons from a possessed man. The disciples had witnessed Jesus do all these things. And despite all of this, we read in the passage how the disciples, quite understandably, I don't blame them, question how on earth they were supposed to feed so many people with five loaves and two fishes. In a similar vein in our own lives, we can also find ourselves being prompted to do something and yet think, how am I ever going to achieve this for what little I have to offer? Yet Jesus takes what they can find, five loaves and two fishes, and in an act of such wonder, feeds all those present with much more to spare. Amazing. So we can clearly draw from the story that God will provide. And I guess the challenge for us sometimes is letting him. We have so much and we are so busy and are very capable that we become self-sufficient, trying to deal with our own problems in isolation and doing what we think is best rather than drawing on an all-sufficient God. So the first challenge for us today is seek out God's provision in your everyday life. We pray and ask so often, give us our daily bread. But let us try this week not to pray that prayer and then roll up our prayer mat and carry on exactly the way we were before. We need to pray that prayer and let it influence our everyday life. Point two, Jesus shows amazing compassion and care for his people. As a recap, we need to understand what has led Jesus to the shore of the lake, where the crowd meet him and want to receive his teaching and healing. This is important as so much of our walk and our journey of faith is determined by our understanding and confidence in Christ. I want us to be wowed by him again. I want us to be touched by him again this morning. I want us to fall back or fall further in love with Jesus. I want our eyes to be opened afresh as we call upon the Holy Spirit to fill us again. And if you've never met Jesus and want to, this morning could be your chance. And we would love to pray for you after the service, if that's something you fancy doing. So what do we see at the beginning of Luke's Gospel? Yes, Jesus was born of immaculate conception. There was anointing that happened, and Jesus was born fully God and fully human. We pick up the story again at the beginning of his ministry, when he's about 30 years old. He has experienced life in all its fullness, just as we do. He felt pain, he felt fear, he felt guilt, he felt joy. He felt sadness and he felt happiness, all of the things we feel. He was fully human. He felt everything because of this, yet he remained perfect throughout this entire time, completely sinless. Then we read how Jesus meets John the Baptist, who baptized him, and the Holy Spirit rests on Jesus like a dove. He was anointed by God and was given the power to start his ministry. Jesus then spends 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And he suffered and he was tempted by Satan and he overcame it. He didn't just give up chocolate. He was taken physically and emotionally and spiritually to a new low. Yet he rested fully on his Father in heaven. Then we read Jesus began his preaching and taught that the kingdom of heaven was near. How did he know? Because he knew that he was the Son of God and he knew what was about to come. And here's the good part for us. Jesus assembles an unqualified, uneducated, slightly scruffy, almost certainly very smelly group of disciples to be his friends, his companions, and to empower them to spread his gospel. So when we pick up the passage, we read earlier, Jesus has just learned that his friend John the Baptist has been beheaded due to some weird stuff going on between King Herod and his stepdaughter. Jesus would have felt great sadness, and we know this because he took himself away on the lake to be alone. I guess he wanted to process, think and pray about his cousin and his father's provision for him. So when he steps off the boat to find 5,000 people, plus their wives and children, waiting for him, you could understand if he had told them to go away and come back tomorrow. But no, Jesus, despite what has transpired, he showed compassion for the people. And he starts to teach them and heal the sick ones. Jesus was amazing. What does his compassion mean for us today? Take a moment to receive from him this morning. As the 5,000 found out, our God is a God of compassion and love. Our God knows what it's like to be fully human. So receive from him this morning. Know as you come forward later to communion that Jesus is here. He wants the best for you and he wants to bless you. Point three, Paul writes in Ephesians 3, verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Jesus can do more than we can ever possibly imagine. Someone once told me that God's economy is very different from ours. We read in the Gospels many times that when everything is given, then God takes it and multiplies it beyond anything we could ever understand and imagine. We see this so clearly in the passage today. Despite all that the disciples had experienced, despite everything that they had seen in the months before this point, they still couldn't quite understand how they were going to feed all these people. There was no food and no money to buy food. They said they were doubtful. They were doubtful that they would be able to do anything for this hungry, needy crowd. I don't blame them for that. Jesus steps in and saves the day. Jesus said to them, "Bring to him what they do have." They didn't have much, but they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So we don't have much to bring, but we do have something. So Jesus turns our understanding upside down. This amazing miracle that takes place is something so grand, something so unconventional. Yet I continue in my life to struggle to bring my problems, my fears, my concerns to him. Because I don't always think that he is so grand and unconventional and unbelievable and miraculous. Are you the same? Shall we agree together this morning to seek out forgiveness for our unbelief? And to repent of self and ask him, by his grace, to lead us to a place of renewal, of hope and of peace. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So I pray this morning, call on the name of Jesus and receive from him. He has so much to offer you. He has so much he wants to give to you. And he so much wants you to know how much he loves you. In Jeremiah 3, verse 3, we read, "Call on me, and I will show you great and unsearchable things that you do not know about me." I urge you during our worship time to claim that promise. Call on him, and he will teach you great and amazing things. Final point. Am I on final point already? That's gone quick. Hang on, just let me check. Yes. We need to give all that we have. Drawing from the story in John's Gospel, we see a young boy give all that he has. I've often thought in similar circumstances that it might have been embarrassing to bring a packed lunch forward and hold it up before Jesus and say, "This is all I have." And given the circumstances, there was quite a lot of pressure. But he did, and up he came with his loaves and fishes. I wouldn't have done this because when I was a young child, my dad used to make my packed lunches for school, and sometimes he would only put piccalilli in them. It wasn't very nice. I'm still troubled by it. So I would have been very reluctant to share if that's what I had in my packed lunch that day. The boy is prepared to sacrifice what he had. He might go hungry and living with a 16-year-old boy, He can't go hungry. But he was prepared to make that sacrifice. The boy is prepared to pay the cost for the bigger picture, even in the face of what we see as an impossible task. And so, are we willing to give it all up, surrender everything, to count the cost in our walk with Jesus? I'll let you into a little secret. I don't particularly like doing this. I get really nervous. I worry that I might offend someone. I worry that I might miss something out that's really important. My Bible knowledge is limited. I have 2 O levels, 1 in cooking and 1 in drama. I'm dyslexic. I can't spell. On paper, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be doing this. I was asked to go on a preaching course. When if you pass, they let you loose on a congregation. And if they think you're rubbish, they don't ask you back again. And if you're okay, then they might ask you back. But do you see, on paper, I shouldn't be here. I bring something, but Jesus brings the rest. But, you know, I think that God may have given me a strange set of abilities to at least give it a go, despite my obvious inadequacies. If I felt that I was excellent at this preaching business, then I wouldn't need God's blessing, because I know I lack in many areas. I have to turn to the Lord to help me, because I know for sure that I could not do this under my own steam. And without Jesus' blessing, we are wasting our time. I will use a different example that's not about me. A small group, a very small group of male men in our church had a desire to start a men's group. One of them came up with an amazing idea. They're all very busy men. I know them all, so I like them a lot. It makes me very proud. They're all very busy with their family and their work life. They meet together regularly to pray and talk things through. They have created a men's night that runs every 3 months, not necessarily for Christians, but for any guys, any blokes who want to come along. They have created a space where men are encouraged to think and talk about something slightly deeper than football. It's fantastic and clear that God is blessing what they're doing. The atmosphere is amazing. People turn up every time they do it. The talks are challenging. It's doing really, really well. It is clearly blessed by the Lord. It's been very bonding for all the guys involved and a really positive experience. They have had their idea. They've brought it to God. And with all their multiple and obvious inadequacies, God has blessed it and made it work. But what you may not know about these guys is they all work very, very hard, but they get up really early in the morning to pray together. And they lay before God their plans and they seek his blessing. And it works. And soon they'll let women join in and then it'll be really good. I know from my own journey that to pay the cost, to deny myself, can be really challenging. I recall Chris reading a section of a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I wasn't reading it. To me, and it was entitled The Cost of Discipleship. To be honest, my heart sank when he read the words to me. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. I'm not sure I've been doing any dying to Christ recently. But you see, I think we can focus over and over again on the cost, which is surrendering all we have, but sometimes fail to see the outcome of that surrender, the outpouring of grace. And we don't have enough of an expectancy that with God all things are possible. And he wants us to share in ministry with him. How often in life have you held back when faced with what you perceive to be impossible odds? You hold on to what you've got rather than share what you think is small and insignificant. If you learn nothing else this morning, we must start trusting God with what we have and let his purpose, his unfathomable and incomparable wisdom and power work more fully in our lives. We bring a little, he brings all the rest. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all the needs that to be done in the name of the Lord? We are needy people serving Christ in a needy world. Daily we hear of one devastating human tragedy after another. I feel overwhelmed with the size of this task and with my own inadequacy and passivity. How can we meet the needs of people in Ashdod, let alone the massive needs of the people in the rest of the world? Yet we must take comfort and draw upon the power of the Holy Spirit. We bring along what we have, no matter how inadequate that might be, and Jesus brings the rest. So to conclude, Jesus turned the conventional on its head and showed us that through him, all things are possible. Are you prepared to trust him and see what happens? Jesus has compassion. He cares deeply for you. Will you let him take you on a journey? Jesus can do immeasurably more than we can imagine. Let us recommit to a life of prayer and of living under his kingdom rule, seeking him in all things. There's a famous hymn with the words, "I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my precious Saviour, I surrender all." It's a tough song to sing. At the best of times, are you willing to step into a life of surrender and trust Jesus with all that you have? A challenging but exciting place to be. I once read something that I will leave you to ponder. If faith does not cost you anything, then it's probably not worth very much. But as we turn towards our time to celebrate Holy Communion, we be reminded of all that Jesus has done for us. Jesus lived here on earth, fully man. Jesus died on a cross for you. Jesus rode glorious into heaven, so we might have a life. Jesus gave us his Holy Spirit. We are never alone. Jesus saves. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you to come to him. So please come to him this morning. Make that step. Maybe for the first time. Maybe you've done it many times before. But that's okay. Step forward without fear. And remember that God has immeasurable power to change the lost and the broken and to take our inadequacies and make something beautiful. Let us pray. Jesus, come by your Spirit and meet with us this morning. Reveal your life, your transforming power and your grace as we seek your face and rest in your presence. Amen.